You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
We are taught from a young age to put our listening ears on, but as leaders, we know it's more than just sitting quietly while someone else talks. The real question is, what does it actually mean to listen, and why is it a leadership skill you simply can't fake?
This is Quest to the Core, and we are exploring the skills and mindsets that define great leadership. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Together, we dive into practices that help leaders show up with clarity and impact. Today, we're focusing on the leadership skill you can't fake, which is listening. We're going to explore how it works, where it breaks down, and what it takes to listen at a deeper level.
So listen up, right? That's what we're supposed to do. But listening is not a passive act. But if we do it well, we are actively engaged in a process that we have to do with intention that shapes trust and connection that can either build a relationship or break it down.
That's what we're always doing, is we're building something up or we're breaking it down. And for our listeners, we don't want you to tune out because you may think, I already know how to listen. But do we really, you know, do you know when you are listening well and listening deeply and being with that other person so that somebody actually feels heard? It's not just the absence of speaking. Jonna, when you think about when you are listening, how do you know that you are listening?
That's a great question. And I think for many of us, we have this method of, I'm such a good listener because lots of people come and talk to me. Lots of people come and share ideas with me. Lots of people love to hear my thoughts and opinions on what it is that they're saying. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily equate to me being a good listener, because effective listening really is being intentional about where you're giving your attention. And if it's internal, then you're probably listening in the wrong place, because effective listening really happens outside of us as individuals.
That is a powerful statement. Outside of us as a listener. So if it's not happening over here, where is it happening if it's outside of me?
It is that space between me and you where the words are exchanged, but the listening happens in that space between the two people or groups of people.
We talked about last week, the bridge between intention and impact is where communication happens. When you think about listening, it's happening on that bridge. Yeah,
it is. It is. And thinking back to one of our original podcasts when we were talking about self-awareness and how most of us have a higher sense of self-awareness than we actually do, that comes along with listening as well. So we typically have a higher self-perception that we are better listeners than we truly are. And so being able to consider what we are doing in that process and to be able to identify what we're doing and not doing in that process can help us actually become not just better listeners, but better communicators.
Because that's the intention. I have an intention of something I want other people to hear and to get there. Honestly, there's times that I think I'm a great listener and there's times that I completely failed. And that the intentionality you talked about is, I think, where that failure happens for me when I go into it being lazy or not being intentional about being with the other person is when I show up as not as effective of a listener.
And the best thing about it is listening is a skill set. Mm-hmm. And there are times when we can perform really great at that skill set, and there are times when we can perform poorly at that skill set. And the more that we practice, the more that we understand the skill set, the more that we have the basics that are solid, we can focus on what are those advanced parts of those skill sets so that we can become better listeners. That allows us to have the awareness that goes beyond, I'm hearing the words that you say and I'm formulating the response in my head, but to really just be in tune with that other person And paying attention to all of those other elements that's part of communication, not just how am I going to respond to you.
Hearing you talk, I think some people probably do collapse that. You know, I'm sitting over here listening to this person sending me a message and I'm hearing it. It's coming in. And I'm following all those cues that they tell me to. I'm paraphrasing, I'm modeling back, I'm reflecting, I'm nodding my head, but that's just that surface level. That's where some things can break down on that bridge. So it's not true effective listening. And when you look at the definition of the word listening, that is like thoughtful consideration for what the other person is saying.
Can you say that
again?
And
if I'm over here, it's thoughtful consideration for what's being said. If I go into the conversation and I automatically have a response, I'm not really thoughtfully considering. I'm just politely waiting for them to stop talking so that I can bounce my stuff over to them. And thoughtful consideration means I'm taking it in, letting it swim around with the thoughts that are in my head, and then seeing what comes out of those thoughts for myself. When you ask me, hey, what is listening for Simone? I think part of it is it shapes how I think about things when I'm listening to another person. That's how I know I'm listening, is when my thoughts get shaped or refined. It's out in that space in between the two of us, and that thought gets better.
I think you just said a lot in just a few short sentences, but the thoughtful consideration just keeps ringing in my head. And I sit there and think about when we go birthday shopping or Christmas shopping for an individual, and we have thoughtful consideration for what they like, what they don't like trying to find that like perfect gift. And we put a lot of time, energy, and effort, that thoughtful consideration in the gift that we're going to give them. But yet when people come to share information with us, do we give that thoughtful consideration to that other person, right? Like my gears are just turning over and over and over of all those conversations that I did not give thoughtful consideration to the other person.
Powerful analogy, because we can relate to that. Oh, we're trying to think through what's the perfect gift to give this person. And we're wanting to give the perfect gift because they matter to us.
Exactly.
And what if we gave that type of listening to others? That's a gift to them. Like, I'm thoughtfully considering every word that's coming out of your mouth. And that's a gift.
It truly is.
I love that analogy. That's perfect. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, it's exactly what I was thinking about when you said that thoughtful consideration. But we've said that listening is active and it's most effectively done when we have intention behind it, which also means that it's fragile, right? Mm-hmm. Even when we think we're listening, small habits or even our own blind spots can quietly take us off track and create some kind of obstacle on that bridge, which allows communication to fail. And it's because it's not that we didn't say the right things. It's because we didn't create the space for the other person to feel heard.
Oh, say that one again.
We didn't create the space for the other person to feel heard. And when I think of
That's the root, I think, of listening.
I really do. And again, we communicate a lot with people that we know really well, and we communicate with people who we have just met. And as we talk about communication, we talk about communication skills and listening skills, it's not so much do we know the other person. Effective communication relies on the importance of knowing our own capabilities as listeners and to recognize what we're giving in this conversation and recognizing when that breakdown occurs. So let's talk about ways listening tends to break down and how to recognize when it's happening.
Yeah, that awareness is really the heart of listening. And you know, we've already said that listening isn't about just staying quiet, but what we haven't said, it's really about being fully present. And you're right, when our awareness slips, that presence disappears, and that's where breakdowns can happen. And you know, in our last episode, we talked about being that communication is the bridge between intent and impact. If you follow that line of thought, It's not just happening by one person. It's happening between the two of us. And in that space is where a lot of those breakdowns can happen. And one way that we see this happening often is just a mismatch of a response. When you respond to what you thought the other person said instead of what they actually meant. Has that ever happened to you, Jonna?
It happens all the time. All the time. Right? Especially for those of us that are problem solvers, right? And somebody that comes to us and we have, you know, formulated how to solve their problem and you offer advice, right? And you potentially are not even talking on the same thing that they're talking about.
I think for me, one way that I see I can spot that is when a person keeps saying, that's not what I meant. You're not hearing me. It's clear to me when I'm telling someone, you're not hearing me. It's clear to me that they're not listening. It's not completely clear to them. And so for myself, have tried to attune to hearing as a trigger for myself. When somebody says, you're not hearing me, that I stop myself. Like, that's a trigger. It's a sign for me on how to spot that, okay, I'm not in that same conversation with them. Let me backtrack and figure out how to get back in that same conversation. But this whole response mismatch is a real common one.
I think it happens very often, probably almost as often as when we are listening for agreement and not understanding. So I know when you are evaluating the words that they're saying and you're immediately determining whether or not you agree with them and your response is going to be conveying a message from your point of view to either sway them to your side or to just passively agree with them. And if you disagree with them, then either they shut down or we shut down with the conversation. And a lot of other things can happen if that occurs.
That listening for agreement and not understanding there's a lot of breakdowns, a lot of arguments, a lot of distancing between people because they don't agree with our particular view. And it's easy when you're eavesdropping on someone's conversation to see it, that they're having two different conversations and they just don't agree, but they're really saying the same thing. And when you're in the conversation, for me, it's a little harder to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're in that conversation, if you find yourself automatically making judgment against their statements or immediately rejecting their statements before they even complete their thought and provide a bigger picture, that's when you can recognize, okay, maybe I need to step outside of the conversation, like be that eavesdropper into the conversation and see what is actually being said and potentially maybe asking some of those clarifying questions so that you can place yourself back into that conversation.
As you were talking, I just had this image of where when that disagreement's happening is one is on one side of the bridge and one is on the other, and the communication's not happening on the bridge.
Ooh, that's a great image.
And it's like almost like you have this binary bias. It's either or. It's black or it's white. Gray does not exist. That's always going to end in disagreement. It's always going to end in an upset. Unless I'm willing to come in and give thoughtful consideration to what the other person's saying, regardless of whether it is in line with my view or not, it will end in some sort of disgruntledness, I think.
Well, and I think that could be a cue for some if they have a relationship where conversations always end with some tension. Maybe that's an opportunity to reflect upon, okay, what's happening on that bridge and where am I during this conversation and what am I listening to could be an indication and potentially offer some opportunity to develop deeper listening skills.
Yeah. Well, what are some other breakdowns that people may see or experience?
I often think about how our brain is so amazing and so fascinating and does wonderful things. And one of the things that it does is it makes assumptions, which is a fabulous thing. It fills in the blanks, right? Huh? Fills in those gaps with things that we assume. And when we're having a conversation and someone is sharing some information with us, instead of asking questions, instead of meeting them in the middle of that bridge, we start to make assumptions about the other person's intent. We start making assumptions about the other person's thought process and their reasoning when they are sharing this information. And so we respond based on those assumptions and not so much on what is actually being said.
Am I taking liberties by taking it a step further? It's not just an assumption, but they put a label on it. And usually the label is negative.
Absolutely.
That then becomes the truth. So it's the assumption and the label that becomes the truth. And it was never even a word spoken.
About how powerful that was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I've come to the edge of the bridge on my side of the bridge, listen to what's being tossed out. I disagree. And then I come up with whatever label for that. They're against us or against me. They don't like me. I can't trust them. And so then I turn and I walk away and I'm not hearing what's going on the other side of the bridge. And that's the truth. So I go out to this whole other group of people and say that this person is not trustworthy or this person is stupid or whatever label you want to put on it, or they're not out for us. But all that happened was they didn't really hear what was said. They filled those gaps in. And they may have filled them in, you know, from past experience that something really was said that way, but that's not what was being said in the moment.
I think which also gives a great example of how two people can have a conversation and then walk away mm-hmm. and have two different versions of that conversation and two different perceptions of what actually transpired during that conversation mm-hmm. because the individuals were listening internally and not outside of them.
Not giving the thoughtful consideration to the other person. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know what? Listening is hard.
It is. If you want to do it well, listening is very hard. And it becomes easier for me when I focus on the intention.
The intention of the other person. And how do we connect with the intention of the other person?
To be very curious. What are they saying? What is their intention? And if I can't hear it and understand it from the words that they're saying, I'm asking questions to get that clarity. And so as a listener, I'm working with the other person to try to have them help me listen.
So it's not just sitting back and not talking or waiting to share my thoughts or just simply nodding.
Yeah. Just hearing the sound. That's one level of listening, is hearing the sounds that are coming out. But it does stay on that surface. And it just keeps things in a very transactional, you know, hello, welcome to this fast food restaurant. May I take your order? My order is, here's your order. Is that correct? Yes, it is. It's, you know, $10.25. You go to the window and you pay for it. That's a very transactional communication. And even in those instances, sometimes it comes out wrong. So can you imagine? I mean, I just laugh over that particular image, because a lot of us bring that listening to work. It's a transactional kind of a listening. They said this, I said that, and here's what we're producing. But it's two different ideas of what's being produced.
Well, and I'd even go a step further. And sometimes when I actually teach a whole session on listening, which usually people's faces just kind of like jaw drops and they're like, you're going to sit here and talk to me for hours about listening. Which is amazing.
I'm sure none of our listeners have done that when they heard what the topic was.
Probably. And I like to use the example of mom listening, because I think about how many times I go throughout the day and I am potentially asking questions, but I am not thoughtfully considering where my child is, or I'm just asking those routine questions. Or I am multitasking, trying to do five other things, and your child comes up and asks you a question, and you somewhat respond or shares information with you, and you somewhat give very surface level attention to, and they can walk away feeling like they were not heard.
By listening, you can create that trust and connection with another human, and bringing the the mom listening. I love that phrase for it. The bringing the mom listening can, you know, damage that trust or damage the connection with this human that you love above all else.
Exactly.
And but we get into this automatic way of listening. And so I think it comes back to that awareness. If we want to be a great leader, to be aware of how we're listening, how do we want to leave other people?
And when we talk about great leaders who want to be great listeners, they're not just silent when somebody else is talking. They're not just nodding their head when someone else is talking. They really are attuned to the other person, attuned to their values, their beliefs, their intent. And you can feel when someone's listening with their full presence because there's this emotional connection or energy between those two people. And that's where you know the communication or the listening is happening outside of us and on that bridge between the two people.
Yeah, you know, what you're talking about is deep listening. And that's where deep listening can begin. There's some foundational models that are out there. You have a sender and a receiver of a message, the message going across. Sometimes you have little squiggly lines where the message is broken. How do you get it from one side to the other? Those are foundational elements, functional elements of communication. Those are very, very useful functional models. Deep listening takes it further. It really is, how do you want that other person to experience the conversation that you've had? So you've got that functional model, and then what's that human element of that functional model? And so,
can you say that again? I'm just listening and thinking through those basic elements and models that you just talked about. Those foundational pieces are almost like the mechanics of listening and communication, whereas the deep listening, you said, was the human element of listening.
It is. You know, when you think about so the mechanics and then other elements to make the mechanics, the mechanism to move. So when you think about the human body, you have the skeleton. The skeleton can't move without the muscle. So you have the skeleton system, the muscular system. You know, the skeletons provide movement, so you can move. It may be clunky, but the muscles provide that motion that's smoother. And when you think about the models for communication, it's the same thing. Those functional models are like the skeleton. And some of this deep listening is about the muscle. So you actually have to work your muscles for them to get stronger. So to be a better listener, you've got to really be intentional about working those parts of the listening models. So one example is there's three different types of listening that I will bring to a conversation. I'm listening to, I'm listening for, and I'm listening from. To, for, from. And it may sound like a lot of types of listening, but they are very distinct. So with the listening to, it's content. What are the words coming out of the person's mouth? But that's still very surface level. So that's still on that mechanism side of communication. The listening for is what's motivating that speaker? What are their values? What's that emotional subtext that's going on? It's the contextual part of what they're saying. And so you've got the content, you have the context. So the content is what I'm listening to. The context is what I'm listening for. And there's this other element that I think really gets you into that deeper part of listening. And that's, where am I listening from? That's where this awareness piece is critical. It's about me. What's my lens? What's the bias that I'm bringing to it? Am I trying to look for agreement? What's my inner narrative? What's the general emotional state that I'm in? So I think when we bring the listening to, listening for, listening from, so the content, the context, and then me, my values my ego or my the energy that I bring to it. If I attune to those when I'm listening, I'm creating this space for the other person to really experience being heard.
Which is really powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think for some, this may be a new way of looking at it. And it may be a lot to think about listening to, listening for, listening from. There's a lot of these pieces and I don't even know where to begin, right? But I think if we can simply just break it down into just something very practical, such as starting with asking ourselves a question of what is this person actually needing from us as we're listening to them?
Ooh, that's good. Great question. That breaks that down really easy.
And when we can answer that, then we know where we need to listen from, and we need to know what we need to listen to, and then we know what we need to listen for. So by asking that question, we're able to create that space for content, context, mm-hmm. and place ourselves in that situation to be a listener. So when you think about what people need from listening, what are some things that you have found?
I think from a basic functional level, I think there's a couple of layers of it. From the first level, sometimes they just need a venting post. They need somebody mm-hmm. to just be able to take everything I need to do that verbal vomit with, just to hear it. And the second one is a solution, like they need me to solve something. Oftentimes, they have learned to ask others, do you need me to solve something or do you want me just to listen? And that's those first two, like, you know, do I just need a witness or do I need to help solve a problem? But I think there's two more in there that could really be helpful, and that is, do you need me to validate something for you? Like, that's what that agreement part is. I need somebody just to simply agree with me. And then the fourth one is, I need to share what I need to say, and I just need to hear a different point of view. So people may think that that's problem solving, but it's not. It's just, I need another point of view so that I can then go solve my problem. So I think what humans need are those four basic ones.
Now, and sometimes it's more than one.
Yes. Yes. It could be a couple of them. Great point. Definitely. Could. Yeah. And some of the advanced layers may be that you just need, you need validation, knowing that, okay, I'm not crazy. So I've got this thing. I need to just share it with somebody. And I just need to make sure that what I've come up with, my idea, is not completely in left field. I've done all the thinking. And I know that you're great with this, like, because your brain will go and assimilate large amounts of information and come up with this idea or solution, and you'll share it basically because you just want to make sure that, okay, it's not a crazy idea.
I was going to say, I texted you, okay, please tell me I'm not crazy.
Yes, please tell me I'm not crazy. So, and then for me, I just want connection. So I'll have some ideas of something, and I just want to connect with another human around this as an idea, which then brings to, I think, a final one is collaboration. Sometimes a need that we bring to a conversation is to collaborate. I've got this idea. I need it to be made better. Here's what I've been thinking. What's your reaction to this? And let's make it better. And I think that's one of the reasons you and I work so well. We're able to adapt with what we're coming up with. And we're not so tied to our own opinions on things that we do put it in the middle of us, and then we'll collaborate on an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when we started talking about the topic of listening and how this really is the root at effective communication and how do we get better at communicating, and really stemming from, right, listening is not being silent. It's not, you know, just hearing what the other person is, and that deep level listening is the human element behind it. We started talking about that exchange of the energy between the people, because we can often sense and feel when we're being listened to, but sometimes it's hard to like put words behind that sense, right? It's mm-hmm. hard to articulate what that feeling is. And it really is the energy between the two people. And as we were talking about it and obviously Googling different listening models and trying to see what kind of aligns with, and that's where we've just kind of created our own, the deep listening and what those advanced listening things are that we just shared with you. For us, right, the term quantum listening came up. And even though it has, we found it in one location out there, meaning something a little bit different, but our conversation created this concept of quantum listening, which is becoming a receiver of meaning, which I think is so powerful. When you are listening to another person, you are receiving the meaning that they're trying to share with you, not just processing the information. Mm-hmm. And that comes from being intentional, and it comes from recognizing what that energy is between the two people.
It's somewhat transformative.
And I think it's somewhat.
Yeah, it's very, very transformative. Thank you for the correction. It is very transformative because a lot of us have worked with leaders that are just so inspiring. We think it's, you know, just that, you know, that one person that they're able to mobilize a bunch of people. Because they're charismatic. What if they're just great quantum listeners, that they can take that deep listening to the energy exchange and that it's igniting passion, action, curiosity, interest in others for them to go and act? When you were talking about us, you know, we were just to share with the listeners, Jonna and I will have a planning conversation. It usually lasts way longer than the podcast does. And it's a great example of the collaboration and validation and connection, because it's happening in all three of those are happening in those conversations. I'm getting my connection. Dr. Jonna Smarty Pants is getting her validation because she just brings these great big, you bring these great big ideas.
One day we'll record that. Maybe we'll share for like exclusive viewing.
We stumbled on the thing and then we're like, okay, what do we name the thing? And so then we're out there trying to find names, and Jonna comes up with a whole quantum listening, and it fits. I share it as an example of that's how deep level listening works and where it can take you to create and to innovate and to ignite other humans and to be willing to stand there in the unknown, because we didn't know where that conversation was going to go. We were having a conversation around listening, but it led us to this space of deep level energetic listening, that by simply being in that space and creating the space, it causes action to happen over there with the other person, then also over here with me and there in the middle. So it takes on this whole life of its own of this what was once an idea.
Yeah. And I think quantum listening can truly change both individuals during the conversation, the one speaking and the one receiving, if we create the space for that exchange of energy during a conversation.
I would imagine this is going to be a topic we're going to be exploring more and helping it mature, because we're on the very early stages of it, and even articulating some of those functional needs that people bring, like the foundational needs that people bring to the conversation, those four that we listed, and then the three higher level ones. I haven't really seen them published out there in that format anywhere. Have you?
I have not. And I know we've spent some time researching and reading. And really, this is just a combination of our perspectives, our experiences, our thoughts, mm-hmm. as crazy as they may be.
Yeah. And who knows, it may become a whole chapter in the book. It may be what the Quest of the Core book turns into, or whatever, you know, wherever this journey is taking us. I think that's another thing that quantum listening can help provide, is that space for an idea to spark and then to germinate. You know, because greatness doesn't happen in that just one moment. There's a lot of things that led up to it in order for the 5 seconds or 10 seconds of greatness to occur. And you have to just be willing to stand in the middle of that bridge and listen to see what it turns into, and what it can turn into, and what others can add to it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And quantum listening, it's not just a skill, right? It demands core. It demands curiosity. It demands openness and reflection, and truly the courage to embrace the impact of whether or not we've listened well.
Are you saying we're coming to the end of our conversation?
We are. We could talk hours and hours and hours on this topic.
We could, which is why we've identified three or four topics.
Exactly.
Yeah. So be warned, listeners, there's more coming on these. So let's apply core. Jonna, as we were talking, which of the four stands out the most for you, or is ruminating for you now, and why?
For me, I think curiosity really opens the door to everything that we just talked about, because we go through the motions, as well as most of us were never taught how to listen, right? As you mentioned, we were just told to listen, and that listening is an actual skill. And so being curious to where we're at with our listening skills, and to be curious of what the other person is saying, listening beyond the words, trying to find out what they need from us, right? Being curious within the conversation can allow us to open that gateway to quantum listening.
Gotcha. I love it.
Yeah. How about you?
For me, I think O is ringing pretty loud for me right now as part of the core framework. So openness. Listening becomes much more powerful the more open I am to receive, just creating that space for another person to fully communicate what they need to communicate and for me to fully receive it and to be open to what they have to say rather than trying to ping pong an idea back and forth and one up with intellect or to be better than or to explain why they're wrong and I'm right, et cetera. But to really just be open, just bring an openness to the conversation to see where it goes.
Which can open up so many opportunities as well with the relationship and our listening skills. So.
Definitely.
Well, for our reflection prompt for this week, I would just challenge individuals to think about when the last time you truly listened, not to respond, not to fix anything, and not even to agree, but to actually just understand what the person was saying, where they're at, what they needed from us, and think about how did that feel for them, but then also how did that feel for you, and how would your leadership shift if you listened like this more often? And most importantly, reflect upon what gets in the way of us being able to do that.
Powerful reflection. The next episode is going to focus on those vehicles that we need to go over that bridge, to go over the communication bridge between intent and impact. You can find discussion guides on our website, www.questtothecore.com. And as a reminder, the discussion guides, you can use them individually, even if you don't have a group to use them with. Use them as a reflection tool for yourself. You could write down your answers, not write down your answers. You can pick one or two questions out of the whole guide and just contemplate them, however it works for you.
And as always, a very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. And his information is on our website as well. And he provides services for development. So go check it out.
Until next time, keep listening with curiosity, leading with clarity, and returning to the core.